little, like, diameter type thing where it could detect the different radiations that are flying through space, cosmic rays and, neutrons flying through space. And it could pick all this different stuff up. So it's a radiation detector. So what they would like to do, they would like to know that, you know, if certain different locations on Mars, if you could, for instance, go into a tunnel, you know, how much radiation would you really be able to cut back on? And there's no tunnels near Curiosity, but there is a little cliff right nearby. So they sent Curiosity over to near the wall, and were they able to do it with this? This is a nuclear-powered vehicle, so they don't have to worry about the shade coming over. If it was Opportunity or Spirit, the older rovers, they couldn't do it because you would get shade and that would kill the rover. This thing, no problem. It's right next to the cliff, and they let it sit there for a few days. And sure enough, they noticed a 7% drop in radiation. So they know that works. So if someday if they can go into a lava tube, which is really thick, they'll really be able to cut back on the radiation that would hit the crew. You can make a home in these lava tubes. And some of them are quite large. You know, there's one real big one down by Olympus Mons, the big volcano that, of course, not active anymore on Mars, but they have these lava tubes that are, when lava was flowing through them, eventually the lava drained out and left behind these gigantic areas. You could pull in there, you could set up a small town. So, anyway, they got good results from the RAD assessment detector, the RAD on board Curiosity. They have a similar one on Perseverance they'll be able to make tests on. And they're both doing good now. Perseverance is there almost a year now. That thing landed February 18th of this year. And Curiosity has been there a lot longer, since 2012. Still going along with its nuclear-powered radioisotope thermoelectric generator. Any questions or comments? WS2M. Nothing hard. I just want to mention this one company, Astra, I've been talking about for a couple of years. Astra has a rocket they've been trying to get into orbit now for quite a while. They tried one rocket, didn't work, went up, blew up. Another one went up and started to go off course. They blew it up intentionally. Third one they launched, it went straight up and about 5-10 feet and then went over horizontally. Didn't fall over, went over horizontally about the length of a football field. And then went straight up and started to go to orbit, almost made it to orbit. But didn't have enough thrust. What had happened is, the reason it went over to the side like that is there was a fire at the pad when the rocket engines lit up, and the fire backed up and burnt up one of the wire connections that go to one of the five engines on the first stage. So it really went up with four engines, not enough to make orbit. Anyway, a couple days ago, Astra tried again. They took their fourth rocket, put it out on a launch pad. They launched from Kodiak Island in Alaska. And sure enough, this rocket, now it's not big, it's only 38 feet long, but it has these, like I said, that wire burnt out, a wire. What that wire is controlling is controlling motors. Each engine has turbo pumps. You need turbo pumps to spin up like to 1,000 RPM to push the fuel, in this case the kerosene, RP1 they call it, and liquid oxygen into the combustion chambers. And to do that, you know, usually most rockets use an exhaust or a different procedure to spin up these vehicles, you know, gas type of thing. But this one, they use an electric motor that's spun up by lithium-ion batteries. It's a similar design to what the Electron rocket from Rocket Lab has been doing for quite a few years now. Out in New Zealand, they have that same design, and that's been very successful. So, you know, Astra is doing the same deal. And this time, all five Delphi engines, that's what they call them, fired up, and the thing took off. First stage worked beautifully. Second stage came to life, you know, after separation. That's one big engine. And sure enough, that thing pushed them all the way into orbit. They made it up to, I think they shot for a 500-mile altitude, polar orbit. You know, they launched south out of Kodiak, Alaska, you know, south over the, they head to the South Pacific, that direction, and over the Antarctica. So they're very happy. I watched the video of what went on there, and their headquarters is in California, Alameda, California. So sure enough, that's where Mission Control was. And when this thing went into orbit, the whole team, all young people, they all look young to me, and they all jumped for joy and very happy to get their rocket into space. Now they have another one scheduled about a month from now. Looking forward to that launch. Any comments or questions before I close? This is WS2N. Plenty of other topics that we could cover. We'll try to do that next week. You know, I've gone enough with this for now. We'll cover them. You know, it has to do with, like I said, the private mission that will be going up in February to the space station. You know, you're going to have an American crew go up, visit the space station for, you know, 10 to 14 days and come back. And this is what's going on nowadays. We'll talk about how NASA is getting further involved with private companies and landing equipment and people on the moon. We'll cover all that next week. Anyway, we'll be on tomorrow night for the Club InfoNet, which is always held at 8:30 on these repeaters, and then always followed by George KD2FIU, who does the swap and chop, and that's followed by Newsline. Turn it over to Roy for now, AC2GS. This has been WS2N for the SpaceNet report for the TechNet.
Thank you very much, Paul. This is AC2GS, and thank you for the SpaceNet report. Thank you for all you do for the technical net, and thank you for all that you do for our club here, Limark. I want to thank everyone out there who participated tonight. I hope you enjoyed the trip down the rabbit hole. I hope you learned something, or at the very least, were entertained. Please come back next Sunday when we'll try and do it all over again. Just want to remind people that if you want to contact Paul, his email address is spacenetreport@gmail.com. Mine is mailbag@ac2gs.com. That's for either topics, mailbag questions, puzzles, or what have you. The link page, again, take a look at it. I've added a few articles. One is about the microwave photonics. The other are some very interesting YouTube illustrations to the concept that I tried to get across tonight, that energy is carried in electromagnetic waves, even in DC circuits. So that link is roy.ac2gs.com. Remember that if you want to listen to Glen Oaks and you're away from radio, if you have an internet access, you just type into your browser technet.ac2gs.com, and that'll get you there. And also, MyKC2NGI, who has a great website called amateurradio.tv that holds archives of the technical net going as far back as September of 2006. Keep that all in your little scratch pad there. Again, thank you very much, and please have a great Thanksgiving. Be safe, be well, take care of yourself, take care of each other, get your vaccines, get your boosters, and be smart, and we will all get to the other end of this ordeal. So thanks again. Be well. Be safe. Come back next Sunday night. We'll try and do something else interesting. This is AC2GS formally closing this episode of the Limark Technical Net, and I'm